All right, so I was a little bold today, gave you six and a half pages of sources. We're not going to get through all of them, but or some of them we're going to do quickly. But I wanted to start off Parshas Toldos looking at the opening Pasuk, because the opening Pasuk, as just about every commentary asks, begs a question. Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, whatever Toldos means, as we're going to see in a minute, Avraham Holidus Yitzchak. Well, if you're talking about whatever is the Toldos of Yitzchak, then why don't you go back and talk about Avraham? So the Aruch Chaim gives a number of perushim. So we'll start on page one, and we're just going to skip from bold to bold. I kind of did the homework for you. Okay. The first one, the very first paragraph, he just asked the question. He says, "Tzarech ledas echad b'makom she'yazkir toldos Yitzchak hizkir leidos Yitzchak." When it's talking about the toldos of Yitzchak, it talks about the birth of Yitzchak. Beis lo yitzarech lahodia ki Avraham holidus Yitzchak. Like we know that about Yitzchak. We don't need to be told that Avraham holidus Yitzchak. So he gives a number of reasons. The first one relates back to an idea which we touched upon. I didn't get very heavily into it because it's Kabbalistic. The Sitra de Nukba, which has something to do with what allowed for Yitzchak to be born. It had to do with the change which Avraham and Sarah underwent with their names, which Avraham underwent with the Bris Mila. And so the first one is, Avraham Olidus Yitzchak, Hifil Koach Aleinu Yitzchak. Okay, that the idea that Yitzchak is able to be a father is in Avram's merit. That's first of all. Look at the next one, which is the same kind of idea. So one is Hifil Koach Aleda. So that's not really Avram's merit. That's the next one, which says Be'emtzo Zuchus Avram Holi, that Yitzchak was able to give birth because of the merit of Avram. The first one was Hifil Koach Aleda. That he actually turned on Yitzchak's ability to have a child, which is you know, mind blowing. But that's, again, that's Kabbalistic. So I'm not getting into that. Next one, Iker told us that tzaddikim shemitzvos umasim tovim. So we've talked about this as well. That told us doesn't necessarily have to mean generations. I mean, you have this in Parshas Bereishis. You have Ela toldos hashemayim ve'aretz. You have Ela toldos, right? I mean, you have Ela toldos Noach, but it's masim tovim. I think we saw this about Noach masim tovim. So you have that idea as well. So it's, in other words, it's not just about the actual generations, like the descendants of Yitzchak, but it's about the masim tovim. So what's the masim tovim of Yitzchak? Avraham holidus Yitzchak. What does that mean? So skip to the end. Omro ve'eile b'tosefes vav lomar mosif al toldosof shel Avraham for some l'tova b'kam nisyono is gam toldosof shel Yitzchak b'domin. Okay, that there is an element of Yitzchak's experience which parallels the experience of Avraham. So when it begins with ve'eile toldos Yitzchak, what do you mean ve'eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham? There's no, what's the vav connecting to? It's connecting to the fact that Yitzchak's toldos are a continuation of Avram's toldos. But toldos doesn't mean generations, it means Avram's story. Okay, so that's an important way of, yeah, I mean, it's like a bridge, like a Venn diagram. You know, it's like, Ela toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham olidus Yitzchak, kind of, you know, throws you back on what came before. And now we can continue with Yitzchak once you remember and recognize that everything that's going to be happening now is the continuation of a story of toldos that starts with Avraham. Because you may say Avram's out of the picture, Avram's over batal min ha'olam, but the fact of the matter is that at the beginning of this parsha is Avram alive, even though his death was recorded at the end of last week's parsha. And the answer is, of course, Avram's alive, because the next pasuk says, "Vayhi Yitzchak ben arba'im shana b'kachtos Rivka." Yitzchak is 40. How old is Avram when Yitzchak's 40? 140, okay, and he's and then it says that he's 60 when they're born. How old is Avram at that time? 160, and the whole story with Yaakov and Esav is typically identified as being attached to the death of Avram. So clearly, Avram is alive. So Avram Olidus Yitzchak is an essential component of the story of Yitzchak's life and experience. The next one also just addresses the vav. If you look at the second line, ve'ele b'tosef es vav kol zeh lo tshuvim al asa shel Avram ki hu av zichalo Avram olidus Yitzchak b'chinas hatov shebo ba'a mikoach hamolid ma'ashein came Avram. So in other words, the whole idea of Yitzchak becoming and achieving who he becomes stems from the whole idea that he was born from Avraham. Right? Avraham did not have a similar kind of experience. Who was Avram's father? Terach. You know, noch, you know, like, all right, it's, it doesn't, right, noch, okay, so it doesn't really help Avram. Avram had to become everything on his own. But Yitzchak's merit stems from the fact that he begins with Avraham. Okay, it's just a totally different beginning of his experience. Okay, and I mean, you can read all this. I drew out the main point that I thought that he was trying to make here. And the last one is okay, things which which kind of happened to Yitzchak or that Yitzchak experienced. And again, it boils down to a similar kind of idea that that Yitzchak is coming from a certain kind of stock. Look at the next part which I put in bold. Nasan akashiv tan letzad ki Avram holdinis Yitzchak letzad she'aviv tzadik haya v'zichalo oshiv rechavod. Right, the whole reason why Yitzchak can merit to what he becomes is because his father is a tzadik, and his father gives him everything, as opposed to Avram. Avram's father was not a tzadik, and when Avram comes, lechacha me'aretzcha me'latetcha, presumably Avram is leaving everything behind in order to go on the journey that God sends him on. And we can go back to the end of Parshas, or the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. I would say, Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishtaho v'es lot ben achiv v'es kol ruchusham asher rachashu, which we have no idea what that means. We don't know what they have. V'es ha-nefesh asher asu v'charan. Okay, so he comes with a lot of people, or we have no idea how many people, and whatever property, but we don't know what that means. But asher rachashu, it's not something which they got from Terach. It's something which they somehow accumulated on their own. Okay, so the first idea that we see here is that there are a number of explanations for why Avram's being mentioned at the very outset is actually necessary. Okay. Now we move on. So the story of Yitzchak and Rivka. Now, of course, I didn't mention at the outset. I should have. That Parshas Toldos has in it essentially three narratives. Narrative number one is the birth of Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esav, rather. Narrative number two is Yitzchak's story primarily in Gerar and with Avimelech, and which includes his being thrown out of Gerar, and then Avimelech and the fights over the wells, and Avimelech finally coming back and making a peace treaty with him. And then the end of the parsha is the deal with Yaakov and Esav with regard to the bracha that Yitzchak wants to give. So, because there are these three elements, I want to touch on each of them tonight. Hopefully we'll spend about a third of our time on each so that we can get through this. And of course, some of this stuff is just beyond fascinating, but insofar as how the Or HaChaim deals with them, that's that will be what we're going to be looking at tonight. Okay, now, all right, so one of the pieces which I wanted to show you. Okay, so Rivka is introduced to us in Pasukah. Yitzchak ben 40 shana bekachtos Rivka bas bisuel arami padan aram achos lavan arami lalisha. Yitzchak marries the daughter of Bisuel ha-Arami, and she's the sister of Lavan Arami. Yeah, that's odd. I mean, what do we need the fact that she's the sister of Lavan? You know, who's Lavan at this point in time? Yeah, we saw a little bit about him. You know, last week we saw he's a nice guy, right? The way he treated Eliezer, right? That was what we saw last week. So fine. But here, what the Torah is doing is it's introducing us to both of them as an Arami, which of course is mix around the letters. What do you get? Haramai. Okay, Ramai. That they're tricksters. Bisuel is one kind of guy with a certain kind of reputation. Lavan is a chip off the old block in every sense of the way. And so, but why is Lavan mentioned? I mean, how often do you, I guess sometimes you want to mention it. Who else is mentioned as the brother? Which other woman in the Chumash is mentioned as the brother of somebody?
Gracious, maybe.
No. She has a very good brother, and she marries a good guy.
She has a good brother?
Yeah. Elisheva, when she marries Aaron, she's introduced to us as Achos Nachshon. Okay, well, that's good. So you want to give Rivka, like, some good yichus. Why do you have to, like, you know, just like her husband, her father's bad enough. Why do you have to mention her brother, the quote-unquote schnook? So look at look what he says here. It says Od Remez, the top of page 2. Od Remez by Das Achos Lavan. Al Derech Amram, Shetam Rivka Shahisa Akara Litzai Birchas Lavan. He says one of the reasons why Rivka became an Akara, became a barren woman, was because of the Brach of Lavan. Kadesh Lo Yire Kibirchasot Hasim Asitov. We don't want to have. But remember what he said there? Achoseinu Atayi Alfer Baba. You should become the mother of myriads, right? I mean, what an amazing bracha. Well, we don't want a bracha from that guy. So that's why she's for 20 years in marriage. So, I mean, he also does talk about the age of Rivka and all that. And, he follows along. I didn't give you all that. But he does follow along the line of suggesting that Rivka was very young when she got married. which, as I've mentioned in the past, I don't agree with. With, you know, b'mechil eskoid, all the commentaries, I have good sources to rely on, including the Tosfos, okay, in Sota, I believe. So, but in any case, so that's one idea, okay. So first the Torah tells us she's a daughter of Usuel, she's the sister of Lavan, and then she's Akara. Why? Because look who gave her bracha. Okay, that's why. Okay, because we don't want a bracha coming to him. So if it becomes clear that his bracha is worthless, then obviously whatever children she's going to have is going to come from the tefillah that Yitzchak and Rivka are going to have. Now, the next one is not like a mind-blowing idea. I just found it to be kind of cool. I wrote my notes here. Cool. So the next pasuk says, Vayetar Yitzchak L'Hashem L'Nochach Ishto Ki Akarai Vayyosher Lo Hashem Atar Rivka Ishto. So Vayetar is a form of tefillah, okay, which I think we looked at last year in terms of what that means with the Aksava Kabbalah, if I'm not mistaken. He went into that. But the idea essentially is that there's a form of tefillah going on over here. And obviously Hashem turns to Yitzchak's tefillah vayyaser lo Hashem atar rivka ishto. So the Aruch HaMe has a question. He says, what do you mean? They're praying, and this is, you know, by the way, this is a source of confusion for me until I actually learned the real deal with the birds and the bees. Because this image you have here is that, you know, he's in one corner and she's in the other corner. Next thing you know, boom, she's pregnant. So of course that's what happens. So look at. So that's what I thought, you know. And I said that's the way Jewish people. Anyway, so he says Tam Shalom Arva Yeda Yitzchak. Right? What is with all the other times when somebody becomes pregnant, when there's a big deal about it? It says Vayeda, right? Biblical knowing. He says that they didn't do that over here. Ha'adam Yada Vayeda Elkana Ulai Shaisa Atfila Achar Sheyada. In other words, that maybe they had their marital relations. And then they prayed that it should work. Toch gimel yamim arishonim, within the first 3 days. Anybody who knows anything about how the science works, you know that it's not like, you know, intercourse, boom, pregnant. Things have to connect inside, and that takes time. So within 3 days, kamrom zal shlosh yamim arishonim yispalel shaloy yisriach, that he should pray that it shouldn't go to waste. Essentially, v'zoy sat filas social Yitzchak, and so. They did what they did, and then next day Yitzchak says it should be Matzliach, and boom. Okay, cool. I thought that's cool because cool. Where does that come from? Because it doesn't say Vayeda Yitzchak es ishto. Okay, so that's that was okay.
Very cool.
All right, that's why I wrote cool. Okay, Vayisro Tzitzu Abanim. Ah, okay. Now she becomes pregnant. Vayisro Tzitzu Abanim Bikirba. So these boys are. So that's an interesting word. Okay, what that means, we usually assume that it means that they're fighting or whatever.
Rats.
Okay, and so she says, what do I need this for? Or however you want to translate that. And she goes to seek out God. Okay, now that's just a fascinating idea about what it means, L'drosh Hashem. I don't want to get lost in it. But the idea that she's seeking out God, so some say she has a Navi, some say she actually went to Har Moriah. The Jerosh like to seek out God. God, what is? Can you help me? Can you answer me? Because that's the place where Yitzchak was. That's where she has to go. But in any case, let's look at this. Yeah, by Yisro Tzitzu Abanim. Tzarek L'Das Omro by Yisro Tzitzu. So again, I'm back in the Or HaChaim, third paragraph on page 2. Tzarek L'Das Omro. So Gam Omro Alam Zanochi. Okay. So Rashi and also, why did she say? Lama Zanochi. What or why is this for me? What is this? What? Rashi says, if pregnancy, if I had I known the pregnancy would be so awful, then why would I, you know, I never would have asked for it. It doesn't make any sense that she's suffering with this pregnancy. This is all that she wanted. Right? So if she finds out that there's two nations inside, so that's not, I mean, that doesn't take away her pain, right? She's going through awful stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, so there's a lot of drushes, but nobody addresses pshat. So he says, Achaim pshat akasav hu, v'yisrotzitzu loshon ritzutz perish hayu nidchokim yoser kashir shayu misrotzitzim v'lo yuskayimu b'mayel. Okay, so what was her concern? She thought she was going to miscarry. Atomer im kein lama ze anochi perzem ora batsma. She's like, you know, what's the point? Chozer l'arayon lama anochi hara l'rikagati. Right? If I'm going to go through this for a pregnancy that's just not going to survive, then what's the point? Vatel chedrosh Hashem perish levakesh rachamim al kiyum harayona. So she's seeking out God. She's saying, God, can you, like, whatever's going on inside me, this is not going to last. My stomach is my stomach. I know where the babies were. Okay. My womb is exploding. Okay, there's no way this is going to survive. Al kiyum harayona. Right, God is not going to lie to her and say, "Oh, it's going to work." That's an amazing line, right? Tzaddikim will endure a tremendous amount of pain for the tachlis tova nitzchi, for eternal purpose. So, what was the point? That this is just like pshat. Pshat is, she's afraid she's going to lose the child, not knowing. And then when she's told, Shnei goyim bevenech, whoa, it's not just two children, Shnei goyim, like straight nations, and it's going to survive. Obviously, there's something deep going on here. Now, that's interesting, by the way. You know, Shnei goyim bevenech doesn't necessarily mean she was told she has twins. Right?
Right.
Right? If you think about it.
They could have children.
Because one child could have
two children.
Okay, and I mean, just a thought. But anyway, I mean, obviously, we know the story. There were two children inside. Okay, all right. So now we get into the very bad parenting lesson that Yitzchak and Rivka teach, which is playing favorites. Okay, so we're going to skip the whole story of their birth. Pasuk Chav Ches. After they grow up a little bit, Pasuk Chav Zayin rather. That Esav is one who knows hunting, and he's a man of the field. Yaakov ish tam, Yosheva olim. Yosheva olim, in Parshas Bereishis, we see that there is the children of Lemech, I think if I'm not mistaken, one of them is the Yosheva Oel Mekneh, and Yosheva olim typically means the shepherd. And that's how we know that Yaakov came to love him with skills, because he already was a shepherd. Okay, I remember Dr. Sokolow, when I was in Israeli graduate school, one of the points that he, or maybe I was in YU actually, taking a Bible class with him, he made the point that the Yaakov and Esav fight is like a reincarnation. I mean, because Esav is an Ish Sadeh, and Yaakov is a Yoshev Olim. Ish Sadeh is a farmer, and Yoshev Olim is a shepherd. That is, it's a reincarnation of the Cain Hevel fights. So, or there was only one. Okay. Anyway. So we move on, and we see Vayav Yitzchak as Esav Kitzayit Befiv Rivka Hevesis Yaakov. Okay, so the Torah gives us a depiction of how these parents love their children in some way, that Yitzchak favors or loves Esav because of what Esav does. Now, Tzayi Befiv is a phrase which is discussed at ad infinitum by the Mefarshim, but let's see what the Aruch Chaim says about it. Pasuk Chav Ches. He'll nail the Rehem Shamru Shahaya Tzad Aviv Bidvarim. Okay, just want to make sure that's it. B'dvarim heich mi'asun esamelach lo chash la'asos kein el Yitzchak v'lo l'Rivka. So the fact that he would ask these kinds of questions, how do you tithe salt, whatever, he only did this to Yitzchak, he didn't do this to Rivka. Ki lo l'tzad ha-mitzvah yechoshesh, el l'tzad sh'yare mi'kilaso gam l'tik v'asam brachos. Okay, so basically he didn't want to be cursed by his father, and he was also hoping to get blessed by his father. Masha ain't kein Rivka, but he didn't need a bracha from his mother, because his mother wasn't the one giving the brachas. L'zed timtza sh'lo amar yikrivu yimei evil avi v'imi el avi. That when it came time for Esav to say, I'm going to kill my brother, when my father dies, he doesn't say when my parents die, he only says when my father dies. Because that was the one who he feared. Tam Rivka, shelo yigida li Yitzchak Risho, the fact that Rivka did not tell Yitzchak about the real Esav, Avshar shayim merameu shelo b'faneha, so it could be that Esav would trick Yitzchak, not in front of Rivka, so that she would not, understand what it was that was his love for him, and she would have no way to counter it because she didn't know about it. Well, the fiuncle is shetir game, are mitzidei, have achil tzarich ladas lama lo yovil tamzeh gan the Rivka. Kiminastam lo yiflegatzmo Yitzchak mi Rivka. So what does that mean? That he would feed him from Yitzide, right? Literally from what he would hunt. So why would that not endear him to Rivka as well? That Rivka's responsibility as a wife was to feed Yitzchak. So, essentially, it wasn't in Esav's interest to tick off his mother. That's essentially what I think the Orach Chaim is saying. So he did whatever he did with his father, you know, hoping that he'd never get caught. And Rivka, you know, on account of where she was from. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, that where did Rivka grow up? In the house of Besuel Ha'arami and Lavan Ha'arami. So, you know, you can't pull too many tricks over Rivka. I think that's one of the points that he's trying to make here, that Esav couldn't do that. So he wasn't, you know, Rivka was a non-entity in terms of his thought process, in terms of trying to advance his own interests. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So now, and you know, this is also just so funny. Pasuk Chavtes, Vayazid Yaakov Nazid, Vayavo Esav Nasadev Hu Ayev. So this is also like, you know, just cool pshat. Vayazid Yaakov, the Arachim says, Ulaiki the Tzachirosho, Ilo Lugimasoshal Esav Yitzchak. Right? Yaakov saw that Esav's food in Yitzchak's mouth was like, you know, very appealing. So Lokach Gamhu Derech Levashel Tavshilin LeKarev Leiv Aviv Elav Geisav. He says, Yaakov's like, maybe I should watch the Food Channel, the Food Network, and learn a little bit of cooking, and I'll endear myself to my father in the same way that Esav has, right? Because what did the pasuk say? Rivka Ohevet Es Yaakov. What, Yitzchak didn't love Yaakov? Rivka Ohevet Es Yaakov. Why? Because she saw Yaakov for who he was, you know, and he wasn't a free spirit all out and about. He was actually helping the family, taking care of their sheep. Right? What is, when Yitzchak says to Yaakov, go get some the Gedi Izim. You know, she doesn't have to explain anything. Yaakov knows exactly, because that's what Yaakov's field is when the time comes. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, so we have that, Yaakov cooking. And then, Vayomer Yaakov Michra Chayom. So, okay, now, I love what we saw last year with this. I don't know if anyone remembers. The Aksava Kabbalah said that Michra means value. Okay, he says, doesn't mean, he says, if Yaakov was saying to Esav, sell me your Bechorah, he would say to him, Timkorli, or Bechorli. He says Michra, right? Eshes Chayil, Miimsa, V'Rachok, Mipninim, Michra. Now, Michra, of course, there is possessive, but the point is that the word means value. So what the Aksav Kabbalah argued was that Yaakov was saying, Michra Chayim was Bechoros Chali. He sees that Esav is like, you know, he finally pins Esav down. Esav's like, he's tired, okay? Esav is not on death's door. That's a mistake. I believe it's a mistake. Or Chaim thinks that he is, as we're going to soon see. But in either case, I loved what we saw last year, and I don't know that I'll ever find anybody that tops that viewpoint. But let's see what he says here. Yaakov says to Esav, "Michra chayom es bichora sechali." Michra chayom. Tzarech le'as omro chayom. So chayom. Like, what do you mean today? Michra chayom. Just michra. If you want to say, let's assume for a second that michra means sell. Okay. Michra es bichora sechali. What do you mean michra chayom? Chayom, what? You don't need that. We're talking now. What do you need today? Okay, Elam Ashvuz. You don't have to say that. V'nira Kalioski Bechora Zo Shekoni Manu Yesh Bepratim She'inam B'Metzius El Mosaviv. Since what they're talking about are things which are there's no Metzius on them. You can't put a finger on something which is Lo Ba La'olam until Ella B'Mosaviv, until the father dies. They don't exist yet. You can't be Kona. You can't acquire something which just doesn't exist. He can't acquire the property of their father, which is an inheritance, until after the father dies. That's why Yaakov says, so that the sale is good from today. Now that's extremely important, as we're going to see when Yaakov comes into Esav, to Yitzchak rather, pretending that he is Esav, okay? The idea, because, you know, one of the fundamental problems that we have is when Yaakov comes in, introduces himself, and calls himself Esav, and all that. We had saw a great shot last year, remember? He said Esav means, it could be a nickname. Esav means the guy who's Oseh, the doer. So Yaakov comes in and says, I'm the doer guy. I'm the guy who does things. Okay, so that is, you know, in order to say that, that is, that's fine. He's just using a nickname rather than saying that he's his brother. But anyway, we're going to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Hatsayad Oni. This is amazing.
Okay,
a hunter is poor. Why is a hunter poor? She'ein lam ayochal, he's nothing to eat. She'amar mashiyal mitzura siyayom, mechor lo mimkaro kayam. Right. In other words, if he sells what he manages to hunt for today, then he has a little bit of money. Otherwise, he has nothing. He's spending all day trying to trap an animal, trying to hunt an animal. He's got nothing. Metam yishum kedei chayav. Right. The whole reason for him getting what he needs is in order to survive. Because of agaonim. She'ein atam tog b'amar ayom. Aluadin yom acher mimichro kayam mitam kedei chayav. Says just a, what does he have? Yom acher mimkaro. One day after a sale, which he does, is what his life is worth. Why? Because that's all that he has. He has nothing otherwise. Lo amro ayom el shlom ashiel mitzudaso lamed yom oshanosh yoser mikdei mechias yom echad. Okay, so in other words, he's giving him whatever arrangement that they're making is something to give Esav basically like a window in which he can survive. Because Esav's chiyus is day to day. Now, that makes a lot of assumptions. Okay, it assumes, for example, that Esav really has nothing. It assumes that Esav being an Ishadeh means it's like a Vildachaya. You know, we talk about, you know, he's just running wild in the field. I don't believe that's the case. Ishadeh is a man of the field, which presumably means that he's a farmer. But he doesn't assume that. He assumes that Esav mamish has nothing. And so what Yaakov is offering to Esav now...
Hunter-gatherer.
What?
Hunter.
Right, he's a hunter-gatherer, and he has nothing. So what Yaakov is saying is, Mikhra chayom is b'chor haschali, based on your needs today. You want to survive until tomorrow? I will provide for you, because you have nothing. Right? What does that mean? Could mean that after a day farming, he's exhausted. Could mean. Or if he was out in the field, you know, chasing animals and he wasn't successful, then that's why he's exhausted and he's extremely hungry. Okay? So, and that's the direction in which he goes here. I'm at the third to last full line in the middle. Mikhra chayom. Perish kedin yom sharei ayev haya mishum kedei chayev mimkaro mimkara gam shehu davar shaloba laolam. That what he's selling him is something which is loba laolam. In other words, something which you can't really put a specific number on, etc. Vezuas mitziyazeh einin shechol zakos mechara b'chora. Vatzadik vihitzdik esav divrei Yaakov kamro.
Right.
So again, he's assuming that what Esav is saying is, "I'm about to die." Okay. Now, I don't think that that's pshat, and that's So that's I'm going to take him to task based on what we learned last year and in the previous years that I don't think Esav is about to die. But if you read it that way, then you can say that what Yaakov is doing is he's giving Esav what he needs. Because the other pshat of, is that Esav is saying, you know, I'm going to die anytime soon. Esav lives a dangerous life. He's always chasing animals. He, you know, one view is that he had killed Nimrod, so like, the next fight could go the other way. So Esav is saying, I'm a free spirit. I could die any day. So lama zali b'chara, what do I need it for? I may as well get value for it now. You're going to pay me for it? I'll take it, whatever it is. And it's not that Yaakov is paying him with a bowl of soup for that, because that is a ridiculous deal, but that is a meal to seal the deal, as I like to say, between Esav and Yaakov. Okay, now, the next line, the next paragraph is I just want to show you at the very beginning, the part which I put in bold, Vayomer Hishavali, when Yaakov says to Esav, swear to me, Tam Shutzach Lashua Lios Ki Yesh B'chor Pratim Shem Dvarim Shein Ban Mamash. And you've probably seen this from other Mefarshim. I think Rashi mentions this, Kamo HaKavod V'Hamala. Right? In other words, what Yaakov is talking about with Esav is the financial aspect of the Bechora. But what he's hanging on is that Esav doesn't care about the other aspects of the Kavod and the Mala. Yaakov says, a firstborn serves in a temple. Esav, do you want to serve in a temple? And the answer is, no, I don't. And so that's why at the very end, when the and I'm not going to read the rest of this, but at the very end, go to the next little paragraph in the middle of page 3. Ayakam vayelach vayivas Esav. Esav denigrates the Bechora. In other words, after all that they went through, Esav essentially supports the idea that this Mechira and this whatever deal that they made was legit. Pirush HaTorah me'ida alav shebiza b'chor b'dato, that Esav said that b'chor is meaningless. I don't care about it. It's stupid. V'lezelo hispik lomar v'yivez v'chozer al Esav amur b'samach v'havein. So you have to understand this, that Esav did not want it. He did not care. He agreed to this. He wasn't gypped out of anything. I know that's a slur. He wasn't cheated out of anything. The kavanas hodazo lomar gam below tam lon sagamar ki beina bezuyahi umacharim karena but dvarma gam shaloy tzarich lashiv nafsho gamar mikneh. Okay, in other words, Esav didn't need whatever it was, but Esav said, you know, whatever Yaakov is offering, because he values bechorah in a way that I don't, enjoy. And that's where that idea of michra chayom is bechorah asleil, the value of the bechorah is such a good pshat. That's why I love it. Sorry, Or HaChaim. Okay, that Yaakov is saying, I'll take it because you don't want it, and we'll, you know, whatever arrangements we need to make. And Esav's like, enjoy. I don't need it. Hineo nochil lech lamus v'lamus ali bechorah. What do I need it for? I don't need it for anything. Okay, all right. So that's what we get out of the first one. I was hoping it would take a third of our time, and it took half of our time. So we're gonna try to move right along. Okay, the next parak is parak Chavav, and this is where we find Yitzchak having his encounters with Avimelech. And as I mentioned at the very outset, when we saw Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Elit is Yitzchak, that a lot of Yitzchak's experience is meant to parallel the experience of his father. Of course, Avram had his own encounters with Avimelech, which is divided into two different chapters. The first one, when they go for the first time and Sarah is taken, and then, you know, in that whole episode whatever happened to the people of Gerar. And then later on, right before the birth of Yitzchak, so that's Perek Chaf. So at the end of Perek Chaf, Avimelech comes along with Pichol Sar Tzva'o. No, that's not correct. It's after the birth of Yitzchak, because we read it on Rosh Hashanah. So it's at the end of Perek Chaf Aleph. Okay, it's at the end of Perek Chaf Aleph where Avimelech comes and makes a treaty with Avraham. Okay, so some of the elements of that story are obviously repeated in their own way with Yitzchak and Rivka, when Yitzchak and Rivka show up and they say that she's his sister, etc., and all that. So I'm not going to focus so much on that component as much as we're going to focus on we're not going to look at that story at all, because nothing really happens with Rivka. Avimelech just gets upset. But the other components of how Yitzchak is supposed to live in this land and how he's supposed to deal with Avimelech. So Pasuk Beis on page 128 is, remember, there's a famine again, just like Avram had a famine, Yitzchak had a famine. Stay in the land. Niskavin lamar stam lekabel alav imrei kadosh el hamakom asher yomar alav agam shia hefech ritzono v'itol schal adavar kiratz kadosh baruch hu zakos yididav v'chinu omer l'aretz asher areka v'samachas kiris. So you have to remember, what was Avraham told? Lech lecha el aretz asher areka. Well, Yitzchak's already in the aretz. So what does Yitzchak have to have? Shchon v'aretz asher omar elecha. You have to live in the land that I will tell you about. Okay, in other words, where I'm going to tell you. So where does he end up? He ends up, he ends up in Gerar, but he goes there first, and God says to him, like, this is going to be a good place for you. And then Yitzchak does what he does. Most of his experience here is in Gerar, and in Nachal Gerar. And at the end, where is he at the very end of this? Be'er Sheva. Okay, that's Be'er Sheva. And that is, that's what we find at the very end of the chapter. Okay, so the first thing is that he's having his own kind of lech lecha experience in go to the land asher, not asher erecha, but asher amari lecha. Pasuk gimel, why is he told not to go anywhere? Gur ba'aretz hazos ve'yayim cha v'avarachecha. Just compare the language to what Avram was told. V'avarachecha, ki lecha l'zarecha atenis kol aretzos ha'el. Because to you and to your children, I'm going to be giving these lands. V'akim osias hashvua shenishbati lab mavichan. I'm going to reaffirm. The promise that I gave to Avram. Take a look at the Archaim. Eretz Plishtim Bechlal Nesina Asaretzi. That when God says to him, "As Kol Ha'aretz Osael," I'm giving you all of these lands. That includes the lands of Plishtim. Lze Gam Kain Hiskim Ramban Omro Omro Lecha Haftachazo Ulai shehi amash itzliach usham vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi. So maybe he's saying l'chol zarcha to you. That's for your children. I'm sorry. That's the success that you're going to have. Your children, they'll get this land later on. Od niskaven lamar lo sheyizkehu ba lezera. So another is that he should inherit this for his children. Ulai ki lo echzik avram eretz plishtim bechazka rishana lezera tashem sheyachzik Yitzchak ba. That Abraham did not make any groundbreaking. He didn't break any ground in Gerar. Yitzchak actually made a kinyan in the Aretz, in the land, and that was a difference. This is these lands too, Yitzchak, not just where your father. Your father put his shovel into Maris and Machpelah. You got to put your shovel into Gerar, which is in the coast.
Into Gaza.
Right, into Gaza, exactly. Okay, now v'chol abeiros. Now the main reason why I shared with you v'chol abeiros is because this to me is exactly no. This is the story of what's going on in this post Pittsburgh, in my opinion, right? V'chol abeiros. Samach oda zol levayikanu. Remember, what are we told that all of the wells which Avram had dug. The Plishtim stuffed up. Why? Why? Very simple. They were jealous. They were jealous. Okay? Why were they jealous? Because Yitzchak was successful. All you have to do is say, hey, Yitzchak, it's a nice land. You know, you're a successful guy. Can you, why don't you teach us a little bit about your methods? We're happy to learn from you. And Yitzchak might say, sure, by all means. I'm happy to do that. No, they have to just stuff. Right? When the tzaddikim flourish, the rasha, they can't rest. That they were jealous of him. And it reminds us that they hated Avram and they were jealous of Avram as well. And it's not enough to say that they filled these things with the wells of dirt. Right? So in other words, when Avram was around, or when Avram died, they just put a rock over it. But that wasn't enough for them. So they stuffed these things with dirt to make it as if these wells had never existed. It's like rewriting history as if it never happened. That's what the Holocaust deniers do. You see this week, there was a story somewhere in the Arab media. They put a picture that the Americans took in Buchenwald. Whole bunch of dead bodies on the ground. You know, Nazi victims. I'm sure mostly it's not all Jews. And they put it on Palestinian media saying that this is what the Jews did to the Arabs in 1948. They made the picture a little blurry, so you couldn't tell. But I mean, anybody who knows like a smidgen of history has seen that picture before. It's insane, crazy. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to get too heavily into this one. I would encourage you to read this, but let's just take a look quickly at Chava. Okay. V'Avimelech halach elav migror. So, in other words, after all this happens, and Avimelech comes back to Yitzchak, and he says to Yitzchak, "Achuzas mereyu fichol sar tzvo." It's a fascinating question about why Avimelech shows up to Yitzchak with fichol and achuzas mereyu. What does achuzas mereyu mean? Look at the translation. He came to him from Gerar with a group of his friends and fichol. Like, he comes with a delegation. Why does he come with a delegation? He didn't do that with Abraham. With Abraham was just Avimelech and Fichol. Was it the same Avimelech and the same Fichol? Avimelech could be like Paro. In other words, it's like a long time ago. But Fichol could also be like, you know, chief general, you know, commander in chief, whatever it might be. But the point is that there's a larger group here. And the real question is that why does he need to do this when the fact of the matter is that he made a treaty with Abraham? And why does he bring Achuzas Bre'eu? This is something which the Or HaChaim goes into into great detail. So let's see. I don't want to read the whole thing. Let's see. Okay. The first idea is that Avimelech was concerned that because he had broken his treaty with Avraham by kicking Yitzchak out, okay, remember, he kicked Yitzchak out. When he comes back to Yitzchak, they come over to him, and Yitzchak's response to him is, why, look at Pasuk of Zion, Yitzchak, Madu Abbasimilai, Etam Sinezim Oziv, Etam Shalim, you threw me out of town. Why did you hate me? So Avimelech is concerned that he broke the treaty, and therefore Yitzchak's not going to honor the treaty with Avraham. That's the first point. Okay. So he needs to make a new treaty with him. Okay. Probably 3/5 of the way down, the sixth word on the line is a period, and the first word on the line is kol, and there's a period and it says v'yesh lecha l'das. Okay, v'yesh lecha l'das ki Avraham lo kibel hanoa mi'Avimelech. You have to understand that Avraham did not get any benefit from Avimelech. Ki mashenosan lo matanos hu l'tzad kli masara. The fact that Avimelech gave Avraham gifts was on account of what he did to Sarah. Okay, or the fact that he took her, in other words, he needed to compensate for that. And when he said to him, you can live in Gerar, Avraham didn't accept that offer. I mean, I think he did live in Gerar. The Torah says, Yeshev, didn't it say that Yeshev was there for many days? Yes, I'm not sure what he means. I'm not sure, I don't know what it means when he says, Lo Kibel Avraham. But Ukamosha Nira Meaksuvim Kipana take Eva Halach Lamigrar, Vyashav Lobir Shava, Makam Shigar Sham Yitzchak Ashlucho Migrar. So, I mean, the Torah says that he was there for Yamim Rabim. So I don't know what that means. Yamim Rabim could mean a bunch of days. Okay, it could also mean a bunch of years. Right? I mean, I saw, was it Or HaChaim? No, it can't be. I saw a pshat that tried to explain that Yitzchak grew up in Gerar. I think I spoke about that on Shabbos a couple of weeks ago. That Yitzchak grew up in Gerar, needed to grow up in Gerar. Because of, said he, oh, that's the Shemeshon Rafael Hirsch. That's his pshat. The Yitzchak needed to grow up in Gerar because he needed to not just be like an Avram's tent. He needed to see the real world. So that's Rav Hirsch. But anyway, but he says that, look, you know, Yitzchak, they were there, and then by the time the Akedah is over, Avram goes back to Be'er Sheva. So they're not in Gerar. V'shuv ba lidei ma'amarecha v'zel shon kechesed asher asisi madi ma'chesed asayimo. Like, what's the chesed? Avimelech at the very end of this says, you know, chesed asher asisi imadi, where is it? It's pasuk, where is it? No, he doesn't say
that.
Chesed asher asisi imadi, or maybe Avimelech says davro. Okay, so... So what Avimelech says is, "Itaseim anu rakashel niganuch v'chasher sinu nimchar rak tov anashalecha b'shalom ato baruch Hashem." He says, "We've only done good to you. We've only done good to you. And we sent you in peace." So okay, whatever. He says, "Ma chesed asaymo shamar lo hineretzi l'vanecha." Okay, so in other words, the chesed that he did was that he said to him, "Hineretzi l'vanecha." Now that he did say to, who did he say that to? No, that's what he said to Avram, right?
Right.
Yeah, he didn't say that to him. He didn't say that to him. That's what, so in other words, he's referencing what Avimelech had said to
Avram.
To what Avimelech had said to Avraham. Okay? Who lo kibel? Hare shesovrim razal shachesed shasaimo shamar lin eretz levanecha lo kibel v'gam shomer chesed kachesed heim divrei atzmo ve'enochein. So in other words, when Avimelech claims that he did chesed to Avraham, it's not true. V'lochein ayav Yitzchak shashiva be'artzo v'yashav sham v'yasa v'tzliach v'chol tov. And that's not what Yitzchak's experience was. He didn't follow Avraham of not being mekabel, whatever it was that Avimelech offered. Yitzchak did live in there, and he was very successful there. That what does it mean that Avimelech went to him from Gerar, meaning from the din which comes out from Emtzaus? What's Emtzaus? The medium through Gerar. Kila Avram lo yisatovas Gerar tova shu lo kibel ushvoso yichaneh. So Avram didn't really benefit from Gerar. Okay, and so whatever treaty or swear or promise that he made with Avimelech is going to change ba'atara through ahataras neder or through something which changed on the ground. Uli Yitzchak haisa atava. Okay, but Yitzchak did benefit from Gerar. Okay, so in other words, he felt what Avimelech felt was that whatever treaty had been made with Avram was not particularly binding. It was binding for Avram and Avimelech, but it wasn't really something which lasted because Avram made every effort to make it that it wouldn't last. And on the other hand, Yitzchak maybe having put stake in the ground is also what drove Avimelech to say, wait a second, we're going to be out of here. If A, his God gives him Ace Clarit Sosa El, if B, he is so successful here and he's made a kinyan in this place, and the fact of the matter is that he feels, you know, a kinship to this area, so, you know, that's something which we need to be concerned with. Okay, the next one is when Yitzchak says, why did you guys come back to me? Avimelech says, Ra'o Ra'inu Ki Haya Hashem Imach. We saw that Hashem is with you. So I want to draw your attention in the bottom of page 4 to three different ways in which the Or HaChaim explains why there's a double language of Ra'o Ra'inu. Okay? Ra'o Ra'inu. So if you look in the second line, he says Ha'alef. You see about the third of the way through the line?
Mm-hmm.
Ha'alef. Ki shvuas Avram ein l'smoch aleha mitam shekasavnu l'mala. He says Ra'o Ra'inu. The first one is that we saw that the promise that was made with Avram is not really going to be followed through with. Od Ra'inu, that's Ra'o. Od Ra'inu, we also saw, ki be'em tzauzcha titkayem ha-shvua k'ray mutzak. Okay? This shvua is only going to be lasting through you. That's what Ra'o Ra'inu is. That's the first one. Od Ra'inu. The second thing we saw is, ki shvua savicha lo dikdaknu l'piskei dinim ha-mafsidim bris. That we weren't precise with what would make that treaty lasting, the one that we made with your father. Even if you might say, you know, whoa, you didn't go to Yishmael, he's also from my father. Ra'inu ki Hashem imach. The reason why we're coming to you and not to Yishmael is because we see that Hashem is with you. Okay, so that's another reason that we see that we didn't do it right with Avram, and we see that you are the one who is the continuation of Avram, and not Yishmael. Okay, that's the second shot. And the last one is, Gamim kavanascha likbol al asher heranu l'chasina, like if you are going to look at the way that we treated you before, that we showed hatred to you, b'masha shel chanucha, ra'inu, we saw, ki Hashem imach. In other words, the ra'o might be what you see, and ra'inu is what we see. And what we see should overpower what you see, because ubeerech adam kezeh b'chol makom shalech shama shamor matzlach hu v'lo yishtane lo amakom erech v'ein kansina. Since we see that God is with you and we see what kind of value you bring to the table, the fact of the matter is there's no way that we can hate you. Okay, and the next one, did I give you the next one? Gam lama shetia. Okay, so if you just look in the middle line, the omram ra'o ra'inu, the fifth word. Ri'ya sichlis. He says that this is not like just a physical seeing. They understood who Yitzchak is. And that's another thing which might be implied from the words ra'o ra'inu. Okay? Alright. Okay, however, Chazal say, right, remember what they said in Ta'asei Moro Ra'a Kashela Naganucha? So look at the last thing that the Or HaChaim says in this parak. Ra'isi la'razal sha'amru. They weren't completely sincere with him, according to the Chazal Brachos Rabbah. So he says that's difficult. So in other words, they show him a lot of love. He says based on what I wrote. We could understand a little more clearly, I guess, what the Chazal wrote. Kamru Shatova Shetibu Imo Lo Hisa Muchletes Lehitiva Love El Letachlis Hamikuvemi Menu Lahem Shuabris Asher Shalimi Menu Benachon Uchapatish Yipotsets. He says that what is going on here is, yeah, they're looking out for their own interests, but they are sincere because they want this covenant to last, and that's why they're fixing up what didn't work and what didn't last after Avraham. Okay, so I mean, I think that what the Or HaChaim is essentially saying here is that when they say to Yitzchak, Ra'o Ra'inu ki Ra'a Hashem Imach, or whatever the line is, Ra'o Ra'inu ki Ra'a Hashem Imach, we saw that God is with you, that's really you want to call it a tshuva, if you will, that they're experiencing, and that makes them sincere in this story. So, you know, that's a nice end to the story. Why it takes so long is a different story and a different analysis. Okay.
Part three.
Okay, we're up to part three. Part three is the story when Yitzchak orders Esav, not orders, but he calls over Esav. So so let's take a look at the pasuk. Starts in the very last word on page 132. Vayehi ki zaken Yitzchak. Yitzchak has gotten old. Vatechane davar os, and his eyes have weakened from seeing. Vayikras Esav. He calls Esav ben Agadol, his son who is bigger. Okay. Vayomer elav, and he says the bini, my son. Vayomer elav, and he says I'm here. Vayomer. So note how he says Vayomer elav. He says to him. So I would posit that, I mean, I've seen others do this, but I would posit I haven't seen anybody go into as much detail in trying to explain the dramatic reading. Okay, this is a fun exercise. Anytime you have a quote from somebody in the Torah, to try to figure out how they're saying what they're saying. What's their intonation? When is it a question? When is it a declarative statement? When is it, you know, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know. The Torah doesn't give us punctuation. The Torah doesn't give us the emotion exactly. So how do we know? So, you know, you kind of have to dramatize it. And when you dramatize it, are you getting it right? And that's the problem. And that's why this story is so fascinating, because we just don't know. When Yitzchak calls over Esav, where are they? How big of a room? Is anybody else there? Is Rivka nearby? Does she know? Does she not know? Okay? And he says, "Hine zakanti lo yadati yomosi. I've gotten old. I don't know when I'm going to die. Yata sanachelecha talichavichashdecha tseyasadet zulisai. Go out and hunt or get traps and vaseli makamim. Make food kasher ahavti v'yavili v'ochele v'abur tevarechecha nafshim teramus. Because I want to give you a blessing before I die." For Rivka shamas, Rivka hears b'daber Yitzchak el Esav beno, when Yitzchak is speaking. If you look back at the pasuk, it says Vayikras Esav beno agadol Vayomer elav. So it's not really a dibur; it's an amira. So what is that? Vayelach Esav hasadeh letzut tzayid lavi. So let's take a look at how the Orach Chaim sets this up. Beno agadol. Nesinas tam lama lo kara li Yaakov ki zebuchor. The reason why he doesn't call Yaakov is because Esav is the older one. Ulai shelo yada mehamecher. So maybe Yitzchak was unaware of the transaction they had made. Why did Yitzchak want to bless Esav the wicked? Because he thought that through getting the brachos, that will give Esav some zchusim, right? He'll become a good guy. And it'll put him on the path of a baal tshuva. Because tzaddikim are pained when their children go in a bad way. And so he's trying to inspire him. He's trying to give him a zechus. And he thought that might work. And that's why some say that Yaakov was punished. Shemona dina me'esav, that he withheld dina from Esav. Because maybe dina could have put Esav on a good path. All right, I mean, whatever. You know, like we're barking in the wind. Who knows? But anyway, always have to hang on to hope that somebody who is in the wrong direction can be steered back on the right direction. Okay, but Rivka shamas. Perush modiakas of ki Rivka neviyaisa v'shamas tamid b'divrei Yitzchak. This is showing us that Rivka was a prophetess, and she always knew what Yitzchak was saying. Hagam shelo yedaber befaneh v'havein, even if he's not talking in front of her. So in other words, Rivka was not there. When Yitzchak was talking to Esav, it was like, hey, Esav, do this for me. You go ahead and do it. Evelazar ma'ar Rivka shamaz b'daber. B'davar. Or b'daber, rather. B'daber Yitzchak. V'lomar v'tishma'ar Rivka. It doesn't say Rivka heard it. It says Rivka shamaz. V'lomar ha'yso shamaz, that she was listening. Rivka shamaz. She intuited it. Ulai ki diber lo Yitzchak balot, that he spoke to him right in a quiet. Zehim ha'amin bevo Yaakov ki hu Esav, and that's why Yitzchak believed when Esav walks in, because he knew that nobody else heard it. How on earth could this be anybody else? Ki ba'ozen Esav diber, he spoke to Esav in the ear. He whispered to him, "Psst, Esav, I got a great idea. Agam ki ene Yitzchak kavdu, and also because Yitzchak's eyes were heavy. It was a secret. It was a secret. We like it. Zera Ramaz Akasav Yamro. Vayikra as Esav. Psst, Esav. Come here. Psst. Vayomer Yilav Beniv. Vayomer Yineni. Okay. Nisiyachtu Lidvarim Nechmasim. Right? They're very close to each other. Nobody else could hear this. Rivka Amra. Pasuk Vav. Rivka Amra O Yaakov Bina. Yitzchak says. Amar Tosef Zvav Ki Eskima Ki Leruach HaKodesh Ashriya Leh. And Rivka got it, and she said, "This is totally Ruach HaKodesh," and she understands that this what's going on here. And what did she say? I love this. Perish Shelo Yachshov Ki Kvar Avar Zman. When she says to Yaakov, "Hinei Shamati Esavicha Medaber Al Esav Achicha Lemor," Hinei Shamati. Again, the Aruch HaAyim is saying that she didn't actually hear it, but Hinei, like, behold, it just happened. Shelo Yachshov Ki Kvar Avar Zman Aruch. Don't think that a lot of time passed. And that Yaakov can argue, Esav's been gone for an hour already. It's time, no problem. It's all going to work out. So she says to Yaakov, Shema b'kulni, atabani shema b'kulni asherim tava usach. It sounds like you're cheating your father and his knowledge is understanding. You must listen to me. Perish. And the rule regarding a Navi Emes is a love to Shmuun. You have to listen to him or her. Kvar kasavnu Navi lavor al mitzvah mi mitzvah. That if the Navi says, for this moment, for a very specific moment and purpose and reason, to violate a mitzvah, in this, what's the mitzvah here? I don't know, sheker, kibarav, I mean, whatever it is, that she's saying there's a higher purpose, and the purpose is what Rivka knows. What does Rivka know? Rivka knows, shnei goyim givitnech, shnei lemimeach, right? Virav yavod sa'ir. Okay, that was what she was told. She knows it has to happen this way. And so that's where this is coming from. Okay, now, you think that's wild? Wait until we get to Yaakov coming into. Okay, so the part which I put in italics, we're going to skip. We're not going to have time for it. So let's go now to Yaakov walking in. Okay, remember, Yaakov had several objections. Right, he talks, one of them is about the skin, right? Okay, so she puts the goat skin on him, she puts Esav's clothes on him, etc. Then, Pasuk Yudchas. Okay, by Avo El Aviv. Vayomer Avi, he walks in and he says, "My father." Vayomer Hineni, Yitzchak says, "I'm here." Miatavani, who are you, my son? Vayomer Yaakov Laviv, Anochi Esav Bichorecha. Okay, so he says, "I am Esav, your firstborn." Asisi Kasha Dibartei, I did like you have spoken to me. Kum Nashva Beochlam Tzidi Babur Tvarachani Avshecha. So please get up, sit. And eat from my tzayit, from that which I prepared, so that you, your soul can bless me. Take a look at what the Aruch HaIm says. Anochi Esav b'chorecha. Perish liyos, shekana b'chor me'esav, yinehu nasa Esav, letzad b'chinas b'chor. Because he bought the b'chor from Esav, he is Esav. Ki la yikare Esav b'choro. Okay, that's how, because, in other words, Esav's, the b'chora, is attached to Esav. And Yaakov, for all intents and purposes, is the Bechor. V'yomro asisi kasher dibarti lai, perish kitam shetziva le'esav, hu ki hu b'no ha-Bechor, v'kevun shenot ha-Bechor, kilu ad-davar bo'ilav. He says, you spoke to Esav. But the problem is, who's the real trickster? When you called over Esav, Bechorecha, you were supposed to be talking to me. So when you gave Esav instruction, you're giving it to me. So the fact that I know what's going on, it ends up, you know, from this viewpoint, not being a lie. Okay, so that's the first point. Anochi Esav b'chorecha. Next. Okay, so I'm just going to be going through the Aruch HaIm, just to save time, and referencing the psukim, and we're probably not going to be able to get through all of this. In the interest of time, but anyway, so Yitzchak was not able to recognize Yaakov because his hands were covered. So Yitzchak did not really pay attention to the fact that his voice sounded a little weird. He went by touch because you can change your voice all the time. Right? I know when I call my father in the morning, if he hasn't had his coffee yet, he sounds very different than when he sounds 2 hours later. Okay? And that's the way it is, I'm sure, for other people. If the people have different voices, different times of day, you may be sick, whatever, but your hands are your hands. Otsad mashmil, otsad shemeh, where my ears are clogged, you know, so I hear things differently. Masha inkin, argasha siaro siadaim, husima mubuk. That's a lot more, it's a lot more reliable than a person's voice.
Fingerprint.
Right. Okay? Like a fingerprint. Vayomer ataze pirish matzdik dvarav. Oh, now this was mind blowing to me. Okay, pasuk chavdalad. So pasuk chavdalad. Vayomer ataze bni Esav. Vayomer ani. So now when we read that, what do we think? Ataze bni Esav. Like, are you really Esav? Really? What does Aruch Chaim say? He's making a declarative statement. Vayomer ataze pirish matzdik dvarav. Ki hu Esav. Lo shuel. He says you're Esav. You are. You are
making the statement?
Yeah. That's right. What? Yeah. That's what you're saying. Perish Mazdik Dvarav. Kihu Esav. Lo Shoel. He's not asking. He's saying, Ata Ze Bini Esav. Ata Ze Bini Esav. Okay, what's the line, Pasuk of Dalad? Ata Ze Bini Esav. Vayomer Ani. Yeah. Hi.
He says, yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. O Yitzeb Omro Ata Ze Yoshu Shahaya Kolo. Magik Yaakovu, Lizen is Kaven Levarech, Leguf Hamachlit Kihu Esav. That's why, what's the bracha that he gives him? Is a bracha of, what's guf?
Physical,
okay? Lizemar Ataze, Morabe Etzba, Lashir Yagir Hushamishush, Vayamalbish Abrachos Bidato, Vimashir Lefanov, Belosha Machshav Amihu. He didn't have any thought. Once he gives the bracha, it's all physical bracha. The whole thing is a physical bracha. Without thinking about who he is. Zahu Lutova Os Shekibel Abrachos Yaakov B'Kavano Elov. And that, you know, is also just supports the idea that Yaakov accepts the brachos. The Gam Shegamar Omer Yitzchak Vizkir Esav Im Kol Zeh V'Shaas HaBracha Lo Yemavarech El Zeh Shelofanov. So that when he is giving the bracha, he's only blessing the bracha to the guy before, to the person who's standing before him. And why is that significant? Take a look at the next one. Here's the bracha, right? So, I mean, in other words, if I'm giving you a bracha, why would the bracha be, and God should give you? V'yiten lecha, that's the first word. It should be yiten lecha. What do you mean, v'yiten lecha? Od yirtzeh. Shebercho birchos ruchnius v'gashmius keneged haruchnius amar behelim vayivarecheu. What does that mean? So you have to go back to the pasuk. No, it's pasuk chav gimel. V'lo hikiro, Yitzchak did not recognize him. Ki ayu yadav kidei esav achiv siiros vayivarecheu. That he gave him a bracha. What was that bracha? What was that bracha? In other words, there's a little bit of something going on here. There's a little bit of something going on here. What that something is, I don't want to call it doubt, but there's just, you know, we're not sure. And then Yitzchak says, after he feels him, Ata zeh bni Esav, right? Lo yikiro ki ayu yadav kidei Esav achiv siiros vayivarecheu vayomer Ata zeh bni Esav vayomer ani. So look what he says. Brachos ruchnius v'gashmius keneged ruchnius amar behelim vayivarecheu. That was in passing. He says vayivarecheu and you blessed him. V'keneged gashmius amar v'yiten lecha b'tos sevas vav. In other words, v'yiten lecha is a continuation to the bracha that he gave him in pasachav gimel. Okay. Lomar milvad olam elyon asher bachar Avram levanav shu'igar tachli zari Yisrael. Oh, Yitin Lo Balam Azeh. So the original bracha was a bracha of Ruchnius, and the bracha that in Vayitin Lecha is also for this world. Oh, Yir Sal Zeh Derech, Lo Milvad Midas Harachamim, El Gamidas Adin Taskin, on the Sina Zo, Vuhom Ro, Vayitin Lecha, Ha Elohim, Gam Perish. So in other words, Ruchnius was on the first one, and this one is, and Vayitin Lecha is on the spirit, and therefore Din. Okay, I don't have the time to go through the rest of this. But the point that I pull out of this, because one of the amazing things that he has, if you remember, just to look at the pasuk, and I gave it to you also in the Aruch Chaim, but I just want to show you one more thing in the pasuk, is in pasuk lamed gimel. Okay, if you remember, the blessing that he gives to him is v'yitem lecha elkeim, where the last part is orecha arur v'orechecha baruch. Those who curse you are cursed, and those who bless you are blessed. So when Esav comes in, and one of the points that the Or HaChaim also makes is that when Yaakov came in, Yitzchak was so sure that it couldn't be anybody else. Like his first thought was when it says Vayecharag Yitzchak Haradag Dolom Ad Meod. When Esav, when the real Esav walks in, Pasuk Lamed Gimel Vayecharag Yitzchak Haradag Dolom Ad Meod. Vayomer Miyefahu Atzad Tzayid Vayavei Liva Ocham Mikol B'Terem Tavova Varacheu Gam Baruch Yeh. He lays out the case of what happened. Who on earth could it have been? B'Terem Miyefahu Atzad Tzayid Vayavei Liva Ocham Mikol B'Terem Tavova Varacheu. And I blessed him. Because you know, he says he was about to curse him because orecha arur, right? Those who curse you are cursed. Mm-hmm. And then he realized, wait a second, it was Yaakov. That's why he says gam baruch yihyeh. Okay, because he realized that it couldn't be some other guy. It had to be Yaakov. And how would Yaakov have known? He wasn't there. So you know Yitzchak. You know sometimes you have like a whole thought process in half a second that when you spell it out. It could take like, you know, minute, 2 minutes to realize what the whole thought process was. That all came to Yitzchak in that second. So, you know, these are some of the points that the Or HaChaim puts together. What was most fascinating to me is the dramatic reading which he gives here to show I don't want to call it the tension, but the tension that is in this story. And it's a very compelling story. It's a difficult story. And there are many commentaries who address it in many different ways. But this was new to me, and therefore I always like to share stuff which is new, and hopefully it was new to you as well. And we walk away with something for our Shabbos day. Okay, shkoyach.